all these things yourself, right? But then when you come back home, you start to realize, oh, wow, I've taken a lot of things for granted, right? My parents folding my underwear, my parents cooking and cleaning for me. You start to have a shift of perspective and you start to realize, wow, there's actually many things that I can be thankful for. And I hope that all of you, not only college students, you can take that spirit of thanksgiving into every sphere of your lives. When you start to shift your perspective and you start to look at your circumstances around you, you start to realize, hey, I need to have a life of thanksgiving. I need to be grateful for what God is doing in my life. And when we start to have that shift of perspective, we start to propel into all that God has intended for us. We don't live a life of complaint or bitterness, but we live a life that Jesus intended, a life that is full of joy and full of contentment. Now, if you've been following our message series for the whole month of November, you know I've been going through a time of reflection and thanksgiving into our church's theme, More Than Conquerors. Looking at what God has done in us and so that we can step out into this new identity as Christians. Last week, I shared a message from Psalm 100, looking at a psalm of thanksgiving, a call to worship. What to do? What are we to do when we come before God? We have to shout and declare His praise. Why do we shout and declare His praise? He's a creator and He's a shepherd. Why we need to give thanks to Him? Because He is good, He is love, and He is faithful. Today, I want to wrap up our November message series talking about a very interesting story in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. Get your Bibles ready. It's a story about 10 lepers who were miraculously healed by Jesus, but only one came back to the feet of Jesus to give thanks to Him. I believe there's actually important lessons that we can learn from today's lesson, whether it be from moving from entitlement to gratefulness or to looking at Jesus as the one who saves and redeems and the blessing He brings upon those who are thankful to Him. So there's a lot of important lessons today. So get your Bibles ready and we're going to have a message titled, Only One Gave Thanks. Only One Gave Thanks. Let me pray. Father God, we thank You for this time of worship. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for what Jesus has accomplished through His ministry and His life, His death and His resurrection. So Lord, speak to us, open up our spiritual eyes and our hearts to see what You have to say to us so that our lives can be transformed and our minds can be renewed by Your word and spirit this morning. So Lord, we praise You. We give You all the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, I remember a couple years back around 2020, Ruth and I had to go rush back to Taiwan to get our visas renewed. Now, as you know, back in 2020, it was actually pretty much in lockdown. Everywhere we went was in lockdown. And the US, compared to the rest of the world, had the highest infection and death rates. And I remember getting countless of messages from family in Taiwan and Australia asking, hey, whether we're okay or not, right? Whether we've been infected with COVID. You guys know the whole deal, right? 2020 was a crazy year for many of them. My mom called me every day to ensure that I wasn't going out. All right, every day she called me, you better be staying at home. All right, you guys remember that time when US was just in pretty much lockdown and, you know, there's no toilet paper, there was not many things at Safeway, right? And I remember I was telling my relatives in Taiwan that I had to go back to renew my visa. And we just had to do it, right? And some of them were okay. But the majority of my family members in Taiwan were like, well, Ben, Ruth, do you really need to come back? We don't think it's safe for you guys to come back. Now, a bit of context. Taiwan at that time had like zero COVID cases. It was the only few countries that were able to keep COVID out. But we still needed to go and renew our visas. So when the time came about, Ruth and I were in strict quarantine for 2 weeks. We had to be separated. After that, we had 7 days of not being able to travel. And yeah, I remember one lady that I met at the market. She asked me where I was from because when I spoke Chinese, I had a bit of an accent. And so she asked me where I was from. I said, oh, from the US. Immediately, she stood back and she kind of cut the conversation short. And I remember even when we went to government organizations to renew our visas, they would ask us, oh, where are you from? And I would say, oh, the US. And they would kind of like stay back a bit and they'll be like, oh, like they would kind of hesitate to let us in. It was just these kind of awkward moments for Ruth and I. And Ruth told me, look, Ben, you just got to stop saying that you're from the US. Say you're Australian. Makes it much better, all right? If you say you're from the US, all of them want to just run the opposite way. And I swear, it was like a moment in my life. It was the first time that I kind of felt isolated and a bit awkward to tell family members where I lived for the last couple of years. Because you know, they know that you have a deadly disease. And if you're the one who brings COVID into that district, it's going to be full shame because at Taiwan, there was zero COVID cases. So I remember even when I was traveling and I was able to travel, I had my aunties call me, all right, who got my number from my parents because I wouldn't give them my number. So they got my parents to give my number to them and they would call me. They're like, where are you? Don't take public transportation. Are you sure you want to visit this place? Are you sure it's safe to take the high-speed rail? Are you sure you need to go visit this relative? Are you sure you need to go to this place to eat? It's best if you just stay in the hotel. Anyways, this whole experience 2 years ago reminded me of a very famous story of 10 lepers found in chapter 17 of Luke's gospel. For those of you who are familiar with this story, you know there are 10 lepers who are isolated from everyone else, considered outcasts of society, shunned by family and friends because of a disease that they had. But they met Jesus, the Son of God, and were miraculously healed. What an amazing story. But there's so much more to this story that we can unpack today. 10 came to Jesus for healing, but only one came back to thank God and to glorify God. Why? What made this one man different to the other 9? What caused him to turn around and adore and worship at the feet of Jesus? We're going to explore some important lessons. So let's read from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. As Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 lepers stood at a distance, crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." He looked at them and said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, "Praise God!" He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you." Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you. Now, here's a bit of backdrop to the story that we're reading. Jesus has set his heart and mind to go to Jerusalem. He's a man on a mission, which is to save the poor, the needy, the downcast through his life, death, and resurrection. And so in the stories preceding chapter 17, we see Jesus is on a mission to save that which is lost. And we see that evidently in the prodigal son in Luke 15. So the whole gospel of Luke is pointing to this one man, Jesus, who has come to save those who are lost. Now, we find ourselves in the story where Jesus heads towards Jerusalem for that ultimate climax of his story, his death and resurrection. Now, he reaches the border between Galilee and Samaria. Now, the exact location is not disclosed to us, but we know it was a village there. Now, what made this village stand out? It was the fact that there was 10 men with leprosy who stood at a distance. Now, leprosy was an unattractive skin disease, which caused great pain and discomfort to the infected. It was so bad that in Leviticus, they prescribed quarantine for these people with leprosy from the rest of society. So if you look at Leviticus chapter 13, verses 45 to 46, you can turn with me there, Leviticus chapter 13, verses 45 to 46. There's actually specific instructions given to people with this skin disease. In verse 45, it says, "Those who suffer from a serious skin disease must tear their clothing and leave their hair uncombed. They must cover their mouth and call out, 'Unclean, unclean.' As long as the serious disease lasts, they will be ceremonially unclean. They must live in isolation in their place outside the camp." And so what was so bad about this was not only did you have a skin disease and have to deal with the pain of this disease, you had to face social isolation. Now, some of you who have faced skin conditions or skin diseases, you already know it's painful, right? there's great pain when it comes to like itchy skin or whatever. I was talking to one guy yesterday from our Chinese congregation. He told me his daughter had a skin condition that caused her to wake up every 30 minutes for one whole year. And his shoulder actually popped out because he was holding her to stop her from crying and to stop her from scratching herself for one whole year. So you can imagine, right? Leprosy, boils, itchiness, it would have had much pain, let alone you would have had to face social isolation. It's almost like a death sentence. You're just waiting to die because you get ignored by people. If you wanted to go out for a breather, you had to cover your mouth and shout, unclean, unclean. Now imagine if you had COVID, all right? You had to go out and Biden said everyone had to shout, COVID positive, COVID positive. You're not going to have any friends. So these guys, they were clustered together. They were isolated from everyone else because of a great disease called leprosy. They all had one thing in common. Now think about it. Here in the context, there's Jews and the Samaritans. Jews and Samaritans don't get along. It's like Jews and Palestinians today. They don't get along because of social and political tensions. Jews and Samaritans, they don't get along. But because of leprosy, they did get along. They could hang out together. They had something in common. So this skin disease was pretty bad. They had something in common, which was their suffering, social isolation, which made them forget about their political and social tensions. So going on in this story, these 10 men stood at a distance and they saw the man Jesus approaching them. They now they must have heard the man Jesus. They must have heard of what he has done, what he has accomplished. So in faith, they shout out, Master, have mercy on us. Master, have mercy on us. They must have known or heard about who this Jesus is. Why? Because they address him by Master. By addressing someone as Master back in those days, it indicates a personal recognition of his authority and power. So they humble themselves and they ask for help. When Jesus sizes up the situation, he says, go to the priest. Now, this is very interesting, right? Instead of Jesus laying hands on them and telling them, I'm going to heal you right now, he says, go to the priest. It's almost like as if he's like just handballing it to someone else, but he isn't. These guys, by faith, have asked Jesus to heal them. And Jesus has responded to their obedience by saying, go to the priest. Now, what's interesting is this. Back then, if you had a skin disease and you were healed, you needed to get a certificate to welcome you back into society. And only the priest could declare you as ceremonially clean. So it's like this, right? When you go to a party today or back in those days and you needed to provide a negative COVID test result, right? That was a big thing for a while, right? You needed, there's no testing kits, but you needed to get like, to show your friends and family that, hey, I'm not COVID positive. Here, they had to get a certificate from the priest who would evaluate their skin condition, check their skin condition, and be like, okay, here's a certificate. You're off. You can roam and you can be part of society again. So Jesus graciously healed them. And he says, go to the priest, because on the way to the priest, they experienced healing. By faith, they got that certificate of health required by the law. They believed in Jesus and obeyed him. And as they went in verses 14, they were cleansed. But what's interesting is this, which is the gist of today's story. Only one came back and turned around and went to the feet of Jesus, full of thanks and gratitude for what Jesus has done. Now, think about their context. We can imagine how joyful these lepers were, right? They all had faith to turn to God for healing, but only one had faith to return to God with thanksgiving. He came back to Jesus, fell at his feet in adoration, in thanksgiving, gratitude. And we are told that this man was a foreigner. He was a Samaritan. Only the Samaritan returned to Jesus. The nine were grateful that they were cleansed, but they didn't return to Jesus. But this grateful Samaritan, when he returned to Jesus, in verses 19, it says that he was truly made well. The original meaning of the word is wholeness. He was made complete. Now this story, from the outset, seems like a simple story, right? 10 lepers, all get healed, one returns to give thanks. But with Thanksgiving wrapped up and Christmas around the corner, I want to talk to you guys about a few important lessons that I was able to draw from today's story. The first one is this: entitlement leads to ungratefulness. Entitlement leads to ungratefulness. Think about the story with me. Of all the outcasts, the one who was like the double outcast, first being a leper, second being a Samaritan, was the most grateful one who went back to praise God and give thanks to him. It's interesting, isn't it? It's like the further down the food chain you are, the more grateful you are. I often watch social experiments on YouTube, and it's always the ones who have nothing, or the poor ones, or the homeless ones, that always go back to give thanks. Remember the story of the prostitute pouring oil at Jesus' feet, wiping it with her hair? Like, the respectable religious people were like, why are you wasting this? But Jesus recognizes it as an act of faith and thanksgiving and love. It's always the ones who is at the bottom of the food chain who give thanks. It's like what Jesus says, the one who is forgiven much loves much. I can't help but feel that the story of the nine were guys because of were ungrateful because of their Jewish heritage. They felt entitled in some ways to take the help of Jesus for granted, thinking to themselves, well, we're Jews. We're God's chosen people. Jesus should help us. That's his job. I remember talking to this young man once before, many, many years ago, who lived recklessly and told me, well, of course God will forgive me. It's his job. And so what's interesting is that there is this sense of entitlement among the other nine. Well, we are God's chosen people. Well, we deserve this. If Jesus says he's the Son of God, then we deserve to be healed. There were lepers who felt entitled and they never went back to the feet of Jesus. Now, what's dangerous about entitlement is this. It breeds in us the mentality and belief that we deserve it. We deserve special privileges or special treatment. It's a feeling that, hey, we have the right to do whatever we want and we don't even have to work for it. And entitlement is rampant in our society and it creeps into the church today. As I reflect on my own life growing up and even in ministry, entitlement has creeped up in my own life in many ways. Ever since I was a kid to my teenage years and the early years of my ministry, the feeling of discontentment, envying or resentment over the blessings that others have, which I don't have, doubting God's faithfulness and his provision, it's so dangerous. Pastor Jerry Bridges notes that an attitude of entitlement prompts us to grumble about blessings not received instead of being grateful for those who have received. I love this quote. An attitude of entitlement prompts us to grumble about blessings not received instead of being grateful for those we have received. I've noticed that in my own life. Always looking at what others have. Have you guys had that experience when you're at a restaurant and you order food? With me, my own personal experience, I don't smash the food straight away. I always look around to see what others have. And I always remember as a kid telling my parents, like, how come that table has the lobster noodles, right? You're always looking at what others have instead of being grateful for the blessings that you have received. But here, we see this double outcast, this Samaritan man, who has humbled himself, knows that he is undeserving, and thinks in his heart, look, whatever good comes my way is a gift. So I must go back to give thanks to Jesus. May we never be like those nine entitled lepers. But may we be reminded of who we are before a holy and righteous God and know that we are undeserving of his grace. You know that prophet Isaiah, when he sees the glory and splendor of God's beauty, the first thing he says is, woe to me, a man of unclean lips. Maybe we haven't been humbled severely enough to become thankful. Maybe some of us still hold on to that idea that we deserve the good that comes our way, or that it's simply automatic because of Jesus. But I believe Jesus wants us to wake up to the truth that everything that he gives us is an act of mercy. We don't deserve it, but he gives it to us because we are in need. Often there's too much pride in us, isn't there? But as we have a deeper sense of inadequacy, as we have a deeper understanding of how fickle we are as humans, we become more and more thankful like the Samaritan man. And we must remember that it is God who blesses us with all good things. And we must live a heart of thanksgiving and gratefulness. You know, Matthew Henry is a very famous Bible commentator back in the days. He was once robbed of his wallet. And he wrote a list of the things that he was thankful and grateful about in his diary. He said, first, I've never been robbed before. Second, they only took his wallet, but not my life. Third, even though they took it all, it wasn't very much. And finally, he gave thanks to God, for he was the one who was robbed and not the one who was robbing. You see how a change of perspective and attitude helps us to live a life of thankfulness and gratefulness. I remember when I was first year of college. I'll tell you a story. When you're first year of college, you really want a nice car, right? Most guys, you know, most people, you've experienced that. When you're first year of college, you want a nice car to show off to your friends, right? And back in those days, in my era, the most popular movie was Fast and Furious, Tokyo Drift. All right, you guys remember that? Fast and Furious, Tokyo Drift was the most popular movie amongst my friends. All my friends, their parents had the money to buy them a nice car. So I'm talking about they had some luxury cars, they had sport cars, they had like Mitsubishi Evos. These guys were like neon lights, turbocharged. You know what I had? I had my mom's bright red Toyota Corolla. It was so embarrassing. It was so embarrassing that when girls looked at my car, you know what they would say? It's cute. Now, when girls say it's cute, then you know. It's like friend-zoned, right? You know it's embarrassing when they say it's cute. Anyways, I was so upset, and I felt entitled to a nice car. And looking back, I don't know why I felt entitled. I just expected my dad to buy me a nice car, but that never happened. All my friends had these nice cars. But you know what started to shift my mentality? I started to give thanks for this Toyota Corolla. You know why? Because what would happen is this. When we used to go out to parties, all my friends' cars were either scratched or damaged. Seriously. My friend who had a Mitsubishi Evo, every girl wanted to be in his car. I was so jealous. Right? Guess what? His car got stolen. Because people envy the car. People want the car, so his car got stolen. And I thought to myself, wow, my Toyota Corolla is pretty safe. You know, no one's going to steal this, right? Who's going to damage my mom's car? Like, it's going to be pretty sad if you want to damage my mom's Toyota Corolla. But bit by bit, it started to teach me lessons of thanksgiving and gratitude. Second, gratefulness leads us to God. Gratefulness leads us to God. You see, in verses 15 to 16, look with me there again. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, "Praise God," in a loud voice. He threw himself at the feet of Jesus, thanking him for all that he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Now, of the 10 men, only one came running back to Jesus to thank him. The others were so focused on their physical healing that the prospect of going back to thank Jesus was unthinkable. Now, I imagine these 9 men must have felt joyous, dancing in the streets that the leprosy was gone. They probably began to imagine what life would be like back in society. I could join my family parties. I could hang out with my wife and kids. Being able to work again, being allowed to spend time with friends. They knew that the quicker they could get to the priest, the quicker they could get the certificate, the quicker they could get their life back to normal. It's like when we recover from a sickness, right? The last thing we want to do is stay at home. The first thing we want to do is open the windows, open the doors, and head out and hang out with our friends. But the Samaritan who was healed, he thought, hang on, I'm going to run back to Jesus and fall at his feet in gratitude. He started to realize that, yes, he's been healed of leprosy, but there's something greater in store for me. And in that encounter, he met God himself. He experienced God himself. He realized that not only had he received physical healing, but he had received spiritual restoration by coming to the feet of Jesus. Jesus responds, "Rise and go. Your faith has healed you." Meaning, you are whole again. You are made complete. For the Samaritan man, there was an opportunity. And that opportunity was to experience God himself. An opportunity for spiritual renewal. And the most important thing for the nine was being able to go back to their family and friends. But the most important thing for this one was to experience God himself and to know God. Not only was he healed and saved on the outside of his skin disease, this man was sent off with his soul saved. Experienced wholeness and restoration. I believe today, in order to have hearts of gratitude, first we need to be humble, we need to be thankful. But we need to see that, hey, in our heart of thanksgiving, in our heart of gratitude, we can experience something greater. That's not just our physical being healed, or that's not just our finances being met, but it's the fact that we can meet and experience God himself. It's this cycle. The more we thank God, the more we see God, right? The more we thank God, the more we see God. We see him working in us. We see his perfect timing. We see that gratitude helps us with seeking his presence, his personal care, and his timing. In 2018, I can speak of this personally because my eyes were spiritually opened. The church sent me on a missions trip to Myanmar. And when I looked and observed, with all that was going on, the conditions that they were facing, bit by bit, all my complaints started to fade away. Now, it's still a journey for me. I ain't completely there yet. But it has propelled me into having a deeper understanding of what God is doing and his timing in my life. When I started this journey on giving thanks to God and being grateful to God, the more I experienced God himself, the more I experienced wholeness in my life, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and mentally. Now, last but not least, just quickly, this story is a picture of the unexpected mercy of God. A Samaritan was saved while Jesus' fellow Jews remained separated from God. Think about it. God works in ways that surprise us. And in this case, it is a demonstration of his love and mercy for outsiders. We all know Jews are God's chosen people. But here we see the Samaritan being saved. Many of us were also once outside the camp. Many of us were dead to our own sins. But through the loving kindness and mercy of God, we have an opportunity to return to him and give thanks, which should propel us in responding as that one leper did. Sit at the feet of Jesus with thankful hearts. To sit at the feet of Jesus with thankful hearts. The thankful leper represents the full fruit of saving faith. This joyful adoration before God in humble submission at his feet. This invitation to accept God and to sit at his feet is for all of us here today. For all of you who call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Before, this Samaritan man kept this distance from Jesus because of his disease. Now he comes close to Jesus and falls at the face of Jesus' feet. You know, this man's position on his face at Jesus' feet also shows you and I the proper attitude that we ought to have, especially those who have experienced his grace and mercy. We owe everything to him. Nothing that we have is deserving. We cannot claim anything for ourselves. This leper wasn't maintaining his dignity and self-esteem. He wasn't claiming, well, Jesus did this, so I have to do this. No, he knew that he had been healed totally. He experienced wholeness because of the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. So immediately he responds, I must sit at the feet of Jesus. And that's where all of us should be, at the feet of Jesus. You know, the Maasai tribe in West Africa have an unusual way of saying thanks. They bow, they put their forehead on the ground and say, my head is in the dirt. Another African tribe expresses gratitude by sitting for a long time in front of the heart of the person who did them a favor, literally saying to them, I sit on the ground before you. Why? Because it acknowledges our debt to the other person. And as I thought about it, you and I are forever in debt to what God has done. The reasons why we can be thankful is because of God's loving kindness and mercy in our own lives. We didn't do anything to earn it. Even though our sins deserve to be punished, Yet Jesus took and bore our sins on that cross. Therefore, we must constantly come before his throne of grace, seek him with all our hearts and all our minds, to sit at his feet, to sing to him, to praise him, and acknowledge that he is good and give thanks. So dear friends, will you be that one today to return to God with a heart of thanksgiving and gratitude for saving you and for healing you? Like those 10 lepers, they have all experienced God's grace and provision. But will you be that one who returns to the feet of Jesus and truly acknowledges him as Lord and Savior? Let's pray. Father God, we come before the feet of Jesus. Feet him, to praise him, and him. Lord, we have all been healed of this spiritual disease of sin. All of us have experienced your provision and mercy in our lives. From the very breath that we have, from our family, from our friends to this church, we have all experienced your loving kindness and mercy. Help us to respond, to humble ourselves, and to sit in humility at your feet, and to give thanks. In this season of Thanksgiving and with Christmas around the corner, help us to be that one Samaritan leper who understands that ultimate healing, restoration, and satisfaction comes from your face. Help us be like that one leper who returned and gave thanks to what you have done and what you have accomplished. And so, Lord, we pray that you will also look at us and say that our faith healed us. Make us complete, make us whole. Restore our mental, our emotional, our spiritual nature. And help us, heart that longs for you, to see your kingdom unfold in every area of society. Help us to have a heart that only wants to worship you. Lord, we thank you for today's story. We thank you that when we have a heart of gratefulness and thanksgiving, we get you. And Lord, there is nothing better in this life than you. There is no one else that can satisfy but you. There is no one else that can give us inner fulfillment but you. So Lord, help us see, experience, to savor your glory and your beauty. Help us to experience you right now. As we sing, as we reflect, Lord, we want you. We desire you, O God. Speak to us right now. Minister to us, change us, transform us. Teach us your ways so that our lives will never be the same again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand and let's worship.